Om Shanti. Please respond, everyone. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Baba has created such a wonderful spiritual family, and all of us say with that firm faith that we are one world family. God is our father, Shiv Baba is our father, Brahma Baba is our mother. Brahma, so Brahma Baba is the mother, and we are their children. There is no other relationship amongst ourselves. Just brothers, sisters, and one mother, father, that's all. No maternal uncles, paternal uncles, mother-in-law, father-in-law, sister-in-law, nothing of that sort. Just one world family. So when we have this consciousness, we rise above all the limitations of religion, caste, creed, color, language, nationality, whatsoever. Because in today's world, people say there's so much of variety, so much of diversity, and because of too much of diversity or variety, it is not easy to make everyone become alike and one, or to consider it to be one family. On the contrary, in the world today, even the families are dividing. They are becoming nuclear families. So we see that family life in the world is going from bad to worse. And here, Baba has made one world family. And what is the basis of that? Otherwise, so much of diversity. But what is the basis of having that awareness that this is one world family? It is the knowledge of the soul. Because where souls are concerned, although there is diversity, each soul is unique, different, special. Each one's karmas are different, sanskars are different, features are different. But spiritually, we are all points of light. So we can say spiritually we are all alike in form. Physically, of course not. But spiritually, we are all alike in form. We all come from the same home, Paramdham. And our virtues, qualities are also alike. Each one is an embodiment of purity, peace, happiness, love, power, bliss. Each soul is that. And therefore in these three things there is no difference. We all are points of light. We all come from the same abode. our home is the same, our form is the same, and our qualities are also the same. So everything is alike. But how did we feel that? Only when we got the awareness of the self, the soul. And along with the awareness of the soul, we got the awareness of God. How God is my father. And we added to that, that yes, Brahma is our mother. And therefore, it is one family. And then as we go deeper and deeper, we are able to deepen that relationship. As Baba says, if God is our father, then father means inheritance. The other day also Baba said that people say that God has created us. That means he's our father. You know, father creates the children. So if God is our father, he has created us, then he is also supposed to give us inheritance. And inheritance means that which gives happiness. And yes, we say, yes, God does give inheritance. People just say that God has created us, that's all. Our Father which art in heaven, they say that. But then father means inheritance, Baba says. Where is the question of inheritance? There is no inheritance, because inheritance means something which gives happiness, which gives us plenitude, that's inheritance. But today each one is experiencing sorrow, misery, pain, they are suffering. So where is their inheritance? So Baba says, actually what people have been saying on the path of devotion was just namesake, just for name, that God is our Father. Neither did they know the Father, nor did they ever have the awareness that the Father means inheritance. But when God comes, and he creates mouth-born children, then he says, children, I have given you a new birth, a new spiritual birth. And because you have become my spiritual children, because you have died alive from that old world, you have taken a new birth, a new life, I also give you inheritance. So Baba says, always keep your inheritance in your mind. In one eye keep the Father, in the other eye keep the inheritance of heaven. So if Baba in one eye, inheritance in the other eye, then we will see nothing else. Just Baba and his inheritance. Or sometimes Baba says, home, Paramdham and golden age. That's all. These eyes should see only these two things and nothing else. But that is possible only when we have that full faith. It's not blind faith. People just have blind faith. They just say for namesake that, yes, God is my Father and God has created me. That's all. But then here we say it with that faith that God has given us a new birth, a spiritual birth. We are now the mouth-born progeny of Brahma, the direct creation of Brahma. Or the other day, as Baba mentioned, that you are now the thought progeny of Brahma. Because Brahma Baba, when he was in this corporeal form, he mentioned in the Murlis, many children will come, more and more children will come. Your centers will be opened in foreign lands, in other countries. And there are many children there too who will understand this knowledge and take inheritance from Baba. And therefore, Baba calls the double foreigners as thought-born progeny, because no double foreigner was born spiritually in the presence of Brahma Baba. It's only after Brahma Baba became avyakt that our centers opened outside India. So there was no double foreigner during Sakar Brahma Baba's time. But Baba did invoke all of you, certainly. And therefore, you are the thought-born progeny. And thought-born progeny means much more in speed than the mouth-born progeny. Because those who were Baba's children at the time of Sakar Baba, they are the mouth-born progeny, no doubt. They heard Baba's murli directly and became the children. So they heard the versions through Brahma's mouth directly of Shiva Baba, and they took a spiritual birth. But those who took a spiritual birth after Baba became avyakt, Baba says, you are the thought-born progeny. And the speed of thoughts is much higher than the speed of words. Words means sound. So sound also travels, but thoughts travel much faster than sound. And therefore, your speed of making efforts is even faster than the speed of those who took spiritual birth during Sakar Baba's time. And therefore, Baba says, you can gallop a great deal. Many children say, Baba, we came late. Why didn't you give us knowledge before? Why didn't we come to Baba before when Baba was in corporeal form? Baba says, doesn't matter. You have this blessing now. Last so fast, so first. Although you have come last, you can go fast and come first. Of course, the older ones, they have a different blessing. And the blessing for them is old is gold because it can mold. Gold, real gold can mold. Gold, when it is put in fire, it melts and becomes pure, and it is so soft that it can mold. And therefore, all the older ones in Gyan, they are very strong indeed, no doubt. One Baba, none other, all relationships with one Baba, unshakable faith, completely stable, unmoved, like determination has made them stay alive for so long, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. 80 years. Not a small thing to survive for that long. But then they have become real gold, no doubt. But the new ones, they have started to progress on this path of knowledge, and they are moving forward definitely and becoming strong. So, the topic for today, as given, is deepening my relationships with the One Father. And then Baba continues that, I am not just your father, but I am also your teacher. So, when I deepen my relationship with Baba as my father, I don't forget my inheritance. And when I deepen my relationship with Baba as my teacher, I don't forget the knowledge, because Baba as a teacher gives us this knowledge. And as a teacher too, he says, children, remember me. No student when he is studying forgets his teacher. No child forgets his father. No student forgets his teacher. Because when he's studying, at that time he's also remembering his teacher. My teacher taught me this, my teacher taught me this. You know, little children, they have so much faith in their teacher that if their mother or father tell them anything, they might not accept. But if their teacher tells them, they accept instantly. My teacher told me this, they'll tell even their parents. But my teacher told me this, how do you say that? They don't want to accept what parents say, but they'll accept what the teacher says. So much faith they have. You know, like we say that if we have any physical problem, you ask many people, but then you don't really listen to everyone. You will go to your personal doctor. And whatever he says, you will accept it, you will take it for granted. My doctor has said it. So if anybody says anything else, he will not accept. My doctor has said it. So little children will say, but my teacher told me this. So they have firm faith in their teacher. Children have firm faith in their father too, mother too, yes. But teacher is much more. So Baba as our teacher, and as we deepen that relationship, we just not remember Baba as our teacher, but we also remember all his teachings. Just like father means inheritance, so too teacher means his teachings. You can't remember Shiv Baba as a teacher until you remember his teachings. Baba has said this, Baba has said that. So it's like Baba as your teacher has taught you this, and therefore you remember him as your teacher. And therefore Baba says, also remember the study. You are students. Don't forget that you are students. A student means who's always studying. He has his books with him all the time. All the time his mind is in the study. That's the meaning of a student. A student will not waste his time here and there. Especially when his exams are coming close, he's so concerned about his studies, because he has to go, you know, he has to get flying colors in his exams, and therefore he will pay full attention to his studies. He won't waste his time. He will keep on churning the study, the knowledge, or whatever the teacher has taught him, the teachings. So Baba says, when you remember me as your father, do not forget the inheritance. When you remember me as your teacher, do not forget the teachings which I give you. And then Baba says, I'm your Satguru. So what does a guru do? Guru is the one who guides. Guru is the one who uplifts. Guru is the one who grants salvation. Guru is the one who tells about the next birth, how you can make your life worthwhile in order to get a fortune in your next birth too. A guru will teach the karma philosophy and will open the eyes of his disciple, tell him what he should do and what he should not do, tell him what is good and what is bad for him. So the Guru not only uplifts his present life, but he also uplifts his future life. He teaches him the karma philosophy. Because whatever karma we do in this life, we will definitely reap in the next life. That's why, you know, when a child is born, what is it said? For a child who is just born, it is said that he has brought his fortune with him. He has brought his good luck with him. But how did he get that good luck or fortune? From the karmas he did in his past life. And then when a person dies, it is said he has taken his karma with him. Usually it is said that a person comes alone and goes alone. He comes empty-handed and leaves the world empty-handed. But then if we understand the soul, we will not say this empty-handed. Because soul has mind, intellect, sanskars, and sanskars are based on karmas. And therefore, for the soul it will be said that that soul has carried its karmas of that life. So when a person dies, he takes his karmas with him in the form of sanskars. And accordingly, he gets a new life, a new birth. And when a child is born, it is said he has brought his fortune. Because this fortune is based on the karmas of his past life. So that fate is with him all the time, based on his karmas. So this is a wonderful cycle. And who opens our third eye of wisdom? It is the Sadguru. So Baba, as a Sadguru, he guides us home. He uplifts us spiritually. He gives us an understanding of how to create good karma. He enlightens us. For parents and teachers, we can say that they teach us manners, no doubt. But then they don't talk about something for the new next life. They don't talk about that. They talk only about the present life. A father is Laukik father is father only for one life, one birth. He won't be the father in my next birth. And father means the karmic accounts, all physical relationships are based on karmic accounts. Someone becomes a mother, the father, the friend, the brother or sister, paternal, maternal, uncle, whoever. All these relationships are based on karmic accounts. And once the karmic accounts are over, no one belongs to anyone. Then only one relationship remains, and that is souls are all brothers. And therefore Baba says that as you are souls, you have to go back to the origin. Originally you were in the soul world, you were so pure, you were with me, you had no other bodily relationships, no bondages at all, and now you have to go back to that original form once again. And for that, have all relationships with me. When you have all relationships with me, then your past karmic accounts will finish. Remember me, and I will absolve you from all your bondages, from all your sinful actions. These are God's versions. So Baba is a mother, father, teacher, Sadguru. And then we say, yes, Baba is also our beloved. We had been his lovers for half a kalpa. In golden age and silver age, we did not know God. But from copper age onwards, as sorrow began, we started remembering God. You know, there's a saying that you remember God only at the time of sorrow. You don't remember God at the time of happiness. But then the next sentence is even much deeper. The next sentence is that if you remember God at the time of happiness, then you will never get sorrow. One is that you remember God only in sorrow. You don't remember God in happiness. But if you remember God in happiness, then you will never get sorrow. Why you will never get sorrow? Because in happiness people forget what they are doing and they commit so many sinful actions and then again experience sorrow. But as we get Baba's Gyan, we experience that happiness and then we also check ourselves, we change ourselves, we conquer Maya. And thereby, we don't experience sorrow. You know, many people say that, why did we have to fall? Why didn't we stay in golden age all the time? Why wasn't this world all the time golden age? Why did we have to come down the ladder? But then Baba says that this is part of the drama. We have to go through golden, silver, copper, iron stages. But if we would have been in golden age and then also remembering God at that time, then silver age, copper age, iron age would not come. Because we would not come down the ladder. But that's not possible because it's not in the drama like that. That we remember God even in golden age. Because if we did, we will not come down the ladder because if we remember in happiness, then there is no question of sorrow at all. But again, in the drama, we forget when we are in happiness and we remember God only in sorrow to give us happiness. And that's why God has to come. Because if there would be no sorrow, then God would not have to come also. Is it not? But he has to come, so there has to be sorrow. Because he comes only at the time of sorrow to give us back our happiness. And that's why Baba says, for half a kalpa you didn't remember me at all. And Baba said in today's Murli, then I give you the inheritance of golden age and then I retire. That is why in every religion, 6 days of work and 1 day holiday. In Christianity, it is Sunday holiday. In Islam, it is Friday holiday. In Judaism, it is Saturday holiday, the Sabbath day. They say even God took rest for 1 day. Every religion believes that it's there in the testaments. So God took 6 days to make the world and give happiness to his creation. So 6 days, 5 days he created the earth, water, fire, air, ether, you know the five elements. And 6 day he created human beings. And he was so tired all the 6 days working so hard that on the 7th day he took rest. Today also Baba said, yes, I give you heaven as inheritance and then I relax. In golden age, silver age, I have no work. So I don't do anything. I'm resting. But then when does God's work start? From copper age onwards. He has to give the fruit of our bhakti, of our devotion. And what fruit he gives in on the path of devotion? Temporary visions. If somebody is a devotee of Krishna, he'll get a vision of Krishna. Somebody is a devotee of Hanuman, he'll get a vision of Hanuman. If somebody is a devotee of Christ, he'll get a vision of Christ, and so on. So whosoever devotee he is, he'll get the vision of that. But it's not that God or Goddess who's giving him the vision. It is Shiv Baba giving him the vision of that God or Goddess whose devotion he is doing. Because that soul is also in his falling stage. So how can he fulfill the desires of his devotees? So Baba says, only I fulfill the desires of the devotees of all the gods and goddesses. I am the one who gives the fruit on the basis of their bhavana, their feelings. But then he also says, I do give them the fruit of their bhavana, their feelings, but I don't meet them. If somebody is a disciple or somebody is a devotee of Hanuman, if Shiv Baba gives his own vision to that devotee, who's a devotee of Hanuman, and he gets a vision of Shiva, he will not be happy, because he wants vision only of Hanuman, that's all. If he's a devotee of Shri Krishna, then even Shri Ram vision, if he gets, he's not happy. I remember when I went to Africa for the first time, you know, we didn't have any center at that time in 1974. So we were invited by one organization, and they made us stay in a temple premises. So we stayed in the temple premises. And in that temple, there were images of so many deities. So many deities. And then even the Hare Rama, Hare Krishna people, they came to stay in their premises, because they had a big guest house and all that. So even they were staying. Now when they went to the temple, they saw all these images of Sri Krishna, Sri Rama, you know, everyone. But when they saw the image of Sri Ram with the bow and arrow, they didn't like that. They said, remove this. Because they are devotees of Krishna, so they wanted only Krishna. They didn't want Sri Ram. And then somebody asked them, why you don't want Sri Ram? It is Sri Krishna, Sri Ram, it's the same thing. All are gods and goddesses for us. He said, no, only Krishna is God, only Krishna. Remove the other pictures. And they said, you only go. Why should we remove these pictures? That's what we were told when we went there. But we know that actually they are our forms. We were so worship-worthy, but those people don't know, no? So when we are in that worship-worthy stage, we are not worshipping. But then we become the worshippers and start worshipping our own worship-worthy forms. We also worship the Father who has made us like, who had made us like that, but still we don't know Him. We don't know anything. But then Baba says, you really have been the devotees on the path of devotion for half a kalpa. But still you came down the ladder because you didn't know me, the Supreme. So when you come down the ladder completely, only then I come. In golden age and silver age also you came down the ladder, but that was very slow. You came step by step, one by one. You took the the staircase, but you came one step by next step, and so on. So it was very gradual coming down. From 16 celestial degrees complete, you came down to 14 degrees in 2 ages. But then when you came in copper age, you didn't just come down the ladder step by step, but you fell. You know, one is coming down the ladder step by step, and the other is falling from the steps. So what happens when one falls? You know, he slips and he falls. He will fall down. And when by the time he reaches the end of the ladder or the staircase, he has broken his limbs. He has broken his bones. So Baba says, when you come down this ladder, you fall from copper age onwards, and as you reach the end of iron age, you are like totally exhausted. Totally, you have broken all your bones and you become completely degraded. And then only I come and take you back and make you be in a lift. So when you come down, you're coming down on the staircase, from the staircase. But when you go up, you go in a lift. So Baba takes us in a lift back home. But we have to come down the ladder. Only then Baba will come in the world to uplift us and take us back home. So Baba says, for half a kalpa you had been my devotees. You were my lovers. I was your beloved. And now I have come to take you back home. What happens when the marriage takes place? The girl is taken by the boy to his home. The girl goes to her husband's home. He comes to take her home. So Baba, our beloved, the husband of all husbands, he has come to take us home. But then he says, you have become so ugly. You have become so dirty. How can I take you home? You must first become pure. You must first clean yourself. Only then I can take you back home. We also give an example of a small child. The mother, you know, puts on good clothes on him, gives him good food. He's small, he doesn't go to school yet. So he's playing whole day. But first she makes him ready and then says, okay child, go and play. Because other children playing, so the mother sends him to play. But then as he's playing, he plays and plays and plays and plays. He forgets that he has also to return home. Well, like Baba said in today's Murli, that people, they travel, they have business abroad, so they are traveling for maybe 7-8 years. They don't come back to their country. They don't come back to their own hometown. So they're traveling. But then when they have finished their traveling, they remember their home because they know they have to go back home. And here also you have been travelers. You were traveling in this world. 84 verses you traveled. And now when it's time to return home, you don't want to return home because you like this world. So that similarly a small child, he's playing and he's so engrossed in that play, it becomes evening, his mother tells him, come on child, come home. Time to come home, time to take a bath, time to have your dinner, come home. But the child is so engrossed in his playing, he does not want to go home. He wants to play. Even if he falls down, even if he makes himself dirty, you know, but he still wants to play. So we souls also were like that, no? We want to still be in this world. We don't want to return home. We have forgotten our home. But then what does the mother do? If he doesn't want to return home, the mother doesn't just leave him like that, okay, play all night. No. What does the mother do? First she will tell him with love, "Child, see, if you come home, I have prepared very good food for you. You will get this, you will get that. I've got very good new clothes for you. Everything I'll give you. Come home." She says with love. She tempts him a lot. But then later on, the child doesn't understand all that temptation. So what does the mother do? She gives him a stern eye. If you don't come, I will forcibly take you back home. So come home. But the child doesn't listen, maybe. So what does the mother do then? Thirdly, pull him. Pull him and forcibly take him home. Now as he's forced to go home, he cries because it's against his will, no? He doesn't want to go home. He wants to play. So his mother forcibly takes him home, but whilst he's being forced to go home, he cries. And as he's crying, he becomes so tired. A whole day he played, he didn't get tired. But in that, the last moment when he's forced to come home, he gets tired. Because the mother slaps him, the mother beats him, you know, threatens him, you know, many things. She punishes him. But then he's forced to come home, and what does she do after that? She gives him a good bath, takes him to the bathroom, gives him a good bath. But the child is crying because he doesn't want to come home. But the mother knows it's time to come home. The child is too ignorant about this. So she bathes him, and he's crying, and she's bathing him. But she's happy. Even though the child is crying, she's not minding it. Why? Because she knows that once he's clean, then he'll be ready to do other things. But he's crying. This is the punishment. He's punishing himself. But mother is happy that the child will become clean. But then what happens that because the child has become so tired after crying, the child feels sleepy. It has been exhausted for the whole day. It feels sleepy. And then the mother has prepared so much food for the child, you know, kept good clothes for the child to put on, but the child just wants to sleep. And maybe the child sleeps naked without any clothes because the mother has no time to put clothes on him too. And he also sleeps hungry because no time to give him food. He just goes to sleep. So Baba says, those who don't listen to me, then they get the punishment. And when they get punishment, they become so tired, that for half a kalpa they go to sleep. Paramdham. they are not in golden age and silver age. They go to sleep. And then after half a kalpa, when the world changes, then they come down the ladder. And therefore what they think, that in this world there is sorrow all the time. Because they don't know that there was happiness too in this world. They have not experienced golden age and silver age. They experience only copper age and iron age. So they think that there is sorrow in this world all the time. You know, just like if somebody wakes up in the afternoon, by 12 he wakes up, when it is peak of the sun is right on top. That person does not know the beauty of sunrise. He does not know the beauty of the atmosphere at the sunrise. because he has never experienced it. He thinks, oh, you wake up, it is full sun right on your head. He doesn't know. And as it is evening, there is darkness, he thinks darkness is what is in this world. He does not know about the dawn or the morning sunrise, that beautiful atmosphere. He doesn't know that because he has never woken up at that time. So those souls who come in copper age, they don't know about golden age and silver age. They think this world is always the world of sorrow. But then what does Baba say? Children, you were in that land of happiness, where there was everything in plentitude. There was no sorrow at all. And also we say that if there would have been sorrow in this world all the time, then why would people even ever desire for happiness? Because this is sorrow all the time. Surely there must have been a time when there was no sorrow. That is why they are aspiring for happiness, no? Like in a country where there's war all the time. People can never even think of peace, that to stay peacefully is possible, because they are thinking only of war, that's all. But those who are in the world at the time of peace, they don't know what war is. They don't even think about it. They have no fear, but those who are in the war zone, there is always fear. What will happen? Anything can happen. Maybe the bomb will fall. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. Always in fear. Even a small sound happens, they think a bomb has fallen. And therefore, Baba says, for half a kalpa, there is no sorrow. But then for half a kalpa, there is sorrow, and you have to come down the ladder, because only then I can come. So you were my, not my devotees, but you were also my brides who had to come down the ladder. And I come as a bridegroom and take you back home. You are my lovers and I am your beloved. And I come at this time to take you home. So how to strengthen this relationship of lover and beloved? By having the awareness that yes, Baba is now adorning me, decorating me. How does Baba decorate me? You know, when a girl is getting married, in India at least, this is the custom, that she is decorated right from top till bottom. Right from top, from right here, she is decorated, even in her hair, the chindi. And then right from top till the toe and the fingers of the leg, that is decorated. For the head, for the forehead, for the eyes, then ears, then nose, then neck, and also, hands and waist and so much. We say sola shringar, 16 types of decoration from head to toe. And she goes to her husband's house in that decorated form. So Baba says this is actually in a remembrance of the soul being adorned with all the adornments of virtues and powers with the help of knowledge. So now that bridegroom has come to take us back home, and Baba is saying, now adorn yourselves with these virtues. How do you adorn your eyes? They wear the antimony, that black color to make the eyes look beautiful. So Baba says it is the antimony of knowledge. And thereby you make your eyes so peaceful, so soothing, that you see everyone as souls. Otherwise these eyes show a lot of anger. Whatever is in the mind is visible through the eyes. eyes are like the index of the mind. Usually the saying is the face is the index of the mind. But more than just the face, it is the eyes which are the index of the mind. The index tells you what is the content. So index means the eyes tell you what is in the mind. If one is angry, the anger comes to the eyes first. If one is greedy, then also the greed comes to the eyes first. Because the eyes see it, no? That's why they are greedy. If the attachment comes, then that also visible to the eyes. Sex lust comes, then also visible to the eyes. Ego comes, then also visible to the eyes. So eyes are the index of the mind. So whatever is the mind is first visible to the eyes, then the face, and then the other sense organs. So Baba says, make your eyes very, very calm, very peaceful. And how do you make your eyes calm and peaceful? By seeing everyone as a soul. Where we finish all the limitations which are in the world today. And we come back to our original form, seeing everyone as a soul. Children of one father, we go back to the origin. And this is why Baba says that now be soul conscious and remember me and have all relationships with me. So my mother, my father, my teacher, my friend, my beloved, and also last but not the least, my child. I make Baba my child. Have you made Baba your child? Yes? You know, Kumaris who are not married, they feel shy. At least in India, they feel shy. Oh, how can I make Baba my child? I'm not married, you know. That's what they say. But Baba says, yes, Kumars and Kumaris can make Baba your child. Never mind. Child means you give inheritance to your child. So make Baba your child. Whatever is mine, Baba, it belongs to you. As a father, teacher, Sadguru, you won't give anything. You only take from a father, teacher, guru. But to your child, you give everything. So you tell Baba, Baba, this body is yours, this mind is yours, this wealth is yours, everything is yours, Baba, so I surrender unto you. So if I surrender unto Baba, then Baba says, you make me your child now, then I make you my child for 21 births and give you complete inheritance of heaven. Okay. Acha Om Shanti Om Shanti Om
Shanti. पांडव शिव शक्ति तेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना।